John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show with Conrad Black. Conrad is a distinguished biographer. He's also a Canadian and a member of the House of Lords, Lord Black. But I call upon him now as a Canadian citizen living through the pandemic because, you will note, like the dog that doesn't bark, Canada's not done much barking in the pandemic. Why is that? I puzzled about it the first time in the summer of 2020 when the Toronto Blue Jays were playing their games in New York, not in Canada. I thought, what is this? Now I begin to understand that Canada's dealt with the pandemic in a fresh fashion. Australia's dealt with it in a similar way. It's closed its borders. It's made it very difficult for the virus to get in. And when it's in, it's handled it brilliantly, at least from the statistics. Conrad, I'll read the latest news. This is from Ottawa, from the government. AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine is safe and Canadians should have confidence in it, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said, reacting to news that a woman had died of a rare blood clot after being inoculated. That is the same problem that has weighed down AstraZeneca worldwide. However, it's now back in use in Europe and in America. So how is the pandemic going in Canada? How are the vaccinations going? Is there unrest? Are people anxious or is all calm? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. I am astounded at the serenity of Canadians in the continued lockdown situation. Now, it's not as severe a lockdown as it was, but it's still a much more lockdown condition than most, or at least many American states are now observing. The actual fatality rates are good. I think you get a fairly uniform percentage across developed countries. The fatalities are about 1.5% or slightly higher, but under 2%. But the vaccination rate, in my opinion, is a disgrace. I mean, if you leave out non-representative countries, terribly small countries like Monaco and Liechtenstein and so on, and confine it to the countries of over a million people, Canada's only about 45th in the world. I mean, we are behind Costa Rica. We're behind Morocco. We're behind Turkey. These are not economically fully developed countries. And I am amazed at the proverbial calm and serenity of Canadians in the face of uncompetitive numbers. But the government appears to be relatively popular. There's all party support for what has been done as a policy, the shutdown and the very cautious reopenings, which I don't approve of. I think the policy was a failure. I think we should have let everything continue and just focused all effort on insulating and protecting the vulnerable people, especially the elderly. But you know, we are where we are. And I would say that public opinion, public morale, quite good. The actual numbers are good, but the vaccine per capita numbers are poor. And I'm surprised that the government is not being held accountable for that. Now, certainly the vaccines are being distributed. I've had one shot. My wife's had one shot. But we have to wait a while for the second one. And as a practical matter, the government is been even more generous than your government. So what you have is a very large number of people laid off or underemployed from what they were, but fully compensated. Small businesses have fairly generous compensation programs. So everybody is enjoying a paid holiday with money generated simply by expanding the money supply. So, you know, no one is, since it's not exactly in traditional terms fiscal extravagance, you can justify it by a public health crisis, the general mood is relatively contented. I'm kind of a minority sitting here writing my column in Canada saying, look, I really don't think this is being handled very well, but I'm a minority.
It is commonsensical to say we're one continent, actually two continents, yes, knitted together. And if one place is not safe, none of us are safe. So it is a puzzle. Yep. Do you suspect that Canadian citizens are counting on the U.S. to fully vaccinate and therefore there's no threat from the South? No.
I think what they're counting on is that the rate of affliction is low in Canada,
right,
and we'll will quicken the pace of vaccinations. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you mentioned the approval of AstraZeneca, and of course that was nonsense. And what were 21 people died out of 50 million people inoculated or something? Those numbers may not be right, but it wasn't a very worrisome number as a percentage. So I think that'll pick up. And look, I think we're all on the road to getting over it, but I think the United States will get there before we do because its vaccination rates are good.
Very good. And so are Mother Britain's very good at vaccination
rates. Yep, and Israel. Those are the three top major countries, I believe.
And
Israel, the UK, and the US.
And an attendant concern that I observe is China. China has troubled relations with a great number of countries. Chiefly, I'm thinking of Australia because the Chinese diplomats are being anything but polite and making threats. How is it with Canada? How is the perception of China in Canada these days during the pandemic or during the exchanges?
Basically, just as negative as it is in the United States for slightly different reasons. We had this case, I don't know how much it was publicized in the United States, where a prominent executive of Huawei and daughter of the founder, who owns a house in Canada, in Vancouver, disembarked from a company plane in Vancouver. And the United States indicated its desire to trigger the extradition treaty and have her detained for transfer to the United States to face trial in the U.S. for alleged industrial crimes. Canada adhered to the treaty and detained her. Now she's not in the House of Correction. She's in her own home she owns in Vancouver, but under house arrest. And the proceedings are going on about whether she'll be extradited. And the Chinese purport not to recognize things like extradition treaties and detain for no reason whatsoever a couple of Canadians.
The two Michaels.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just for your listeners, I mean, these people had no more offended any rules in China than you and I have, but they detained them. So Canadians are naturally extremely annoyed at that. And in addition, there have been the general atmosphere is one of recrimination against China. It includes a number of very serious allegations of industrial espionage by the Chinese in this country. And the general view in this country now is that China is as it undoubtedly is, a serious challenge to us. Nobody is racially hostile to China or Chinese people. We don't have any of these problems that are in parts of the U.S. where there's violence against Asians. There's none of that. It's just the People's Republic of China is regarded as a nasty and obnoxious regime, pretty much as it is elsewhere.
That strikes me as accurate. So the other concern that is attendant to China is climate. The climate politics, you know, they're prominent in the Biden administration, but they're mentioned around the world in China. John Kerry goes there. Now, a deal of your GDP is built around your energy, your resources, your natural resources. So is climate policy, climate politics, is that in good repute in Canada or is it doubted?
Well, unfortunately, it is in better repute than it deserves, in my opinion. And it is being invoked as an excuse to hamper the building of pipelines and the shipping of oil from the West Coast out of harbors where there's a lot of rocky shore on the West Coast, and so this is invoked as an excuse. You know, there've been the odd tanker spillage in Alaska and south, between Alaska and state of Washington, and so this is invoked as an excuse to restrict oil production and oil exports, and I think it is insane and outrageous. I mean, this is a country that has a huge quantity of oil reserves and has anything it needs to be energy self-sufficient, but because we're not building pipelines to the east, we're importing oil from the Middle East in eastern Canada, and the great city of Montreal, it lives on imported oil, which we could supply ourselves if we just built the pipeline. But instead, we get all these environmentalists and native people claiming that no matter what the route is, every inch of an oil pipeline goes over their native burial grounds or something. I mean, the whole thing is nonsense.
Conrad Black, a distinguished biographer, a Canadian citizen, as you can hear, observing Canada at the 100-day mark for the Biden administration. Doing very well, thank you very much. Time to open the borders. I'm John Batchelor.
Absolutely.
This is the new John Batchelor Show.